You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
As you can see, this is a finely oiled machine, just like us last time we spoke.
Technology.
I don't know if it was the headphones I had on or what, but it said that I turned off my video, and it was like, no, I know that.
Yeah, I just put a piece of paper over mine just in case. You never know.
Yeah, I can't deal with that right now.
Okay, we're on. We're all on. This is awesome. We made it. We made it happen, people.
Yay. Rose, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, dear.
Yes, Rose, but Suzanne, Suzanne, Rose.
Yes, Suzanne.
So you two have something in common. You both love New Wave of the 80s. So this is going to be a fun conversation tonight.
Nice.
So should we go ahead and get started since we're a few minutes behind?
Yeah.
Okay. Dave, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I was just wondering who's going to be the leader now.
I can take the reins.
You got it.
Yeah.
I will not be overlording on this one.
Okay.
Got it.
All right. Okay. Welcome back to another episode of Banzai Retro Club, our 80s mixtape episode.
Great compilation tape, like Breaking Up is hard to do, and takes ages longer than it might seem. You gotta kick it off with a killer to grab attention. Then you gotta take it up a notch. But you don't wanna blow your wad, so then you gotta cool it off a notch. There are a lot of rules.
12 albums, 1 cent. Find our ad in Sunday's paper, take it to your mailbox. You'll get a lot more music. You'll get a lot more life. Look in your Sunday paper.
Welcome, listener. For those about to rock, we salute you. This is our podcast dedicated to exploring and talking about the greatness that was the music of the best decade. If you're ready for the best in retro music topics on the planet, we present for your enjoyment 80s mixtape Auto Reverse.
We are jumping back into the 80s as far as new wave albums. And we have Dave. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, I'm not here with these guys. I'm just here to win that 4-H ribbon.
Okay.
Because my pig is going to win at that pavilion.
We have Suzanne.
Oh, my.
Returning.
Hi. Great to be back joke. On.
And we have a special return guest that hasn't been on our show in a while. And we love her and miss her dearly. Rose is back.
Good.
And it is so great to have you back. Welcome back for this show. We're going to have a lot of fun with this one. We are doing 1985 New Wave albums. We each get one pick. And I do have to mention a couple honorable mentions at the end for another friend that has been part of the show. And that is Chris Warren. He said that he told me that if I don't mention these two albums somewhere in the show, that he's going to unsubscribe from our show. I'm Lord, like, dude, that's not
maybe
cool.
We'll mention them anyway.
Okay. No, they're definitely mentionables. I'll just leave it at that for now. So,
yeah.
Rose, glad to have you back. It's really
Thank
cool to
you.
Talk to you again. I hope that things have been going well with your music career that you've been kind of playing with and seeking to advance. So do you want to start us off with with your favorite album of 1985?
I do. Thank you. I appreciate you guys, and it's nice to meet you, Suzanne. I miss
you
tremendously. Dave, Scott, you guys are like brothers to me, so it's just like, I got to get back in there, you know?
Like,
you know, you don't find people like you very often, so.
Well, so much love. So much love, Rose. That's awesome. Yeah.
And thank you for welcoming Brett. That was really cool. So, 1985. So I have to always, what is it, when you validate myself when I talk about 80s music, because I lived through that era, but I was also raising kids in that era, so there wasn't a whole lot of time for like music history, music analogy. You didn't have the internet, you know, you pretty much found out information about the people that you listened to via the teen mags or Rolling Stone or the record store sometimes, you know, they have little talks and things like that with people that come by. And, you know, people are like, it was mostly underground stuff. Nobody really cared about, oh, this album came out in 1982 and it was considered punk. Oh, that was post-punk, mind you, because, you know, 1976, you know, stuff that would bore a normal person. But for music geeks like myself, I'm like, yeah, keep talking. So having said all that, I whisked through the entire decade of the 80s, but only one or two bands kind of stood out in my mind. And A-ha was always one of them. So their debut album, Take On Me, that's the song that came from it. But it's called Hunting High and Low. And it has never left my side. And when I revisited the band in 2000, I can honestly say I probably listened to that album at least once a week, if not more. It just rings true even now. I still get angry and people call them one-hit wonders because they're not. Literally on the album, if you're familiar, there's a follow-up song to Take On Me called The Sun Always Shines On. And it was kind of the video, and I know a lot of people didn't get to see the video, or if you did, good on you. But it had a very sad ending because, you know, even though the two lovers met, and he was in the magazine, she was in the coffee shop, and, you know, later on they got to be together, they kind of had to go their separate ways. So that was kind of a bummer. But, you know, there's a lot of super good songs on this album. And have you all listened to the entire album at all?
Not the entire album.
Yeah, I do not.
I
remember
not.
The sun always shines on TV, though.
That's good. Well done. Well done, Suzanne. You picked the right person. That's good. I like that.
Yeah. Oh. We're going to get along just fine.
Yes, I think so. So
basically what you're saying is Suzanne gets a pass, and then Scott and I fail. Got it.
Now,
no better. Come on now.
I do.
You always say that. Ask your question. Yes, Rose. Yes, we have. We know everything.
So, Rose, I do remember doing my homework one time. Well, I've done my homework several times, but one of the homework assignments that you gave me one time was to look at Morten Harkett's solo career afterwards and listen to some of the music that he did. And he really does. He's really an amazing vocalist and a good songwriter at that. So, anyway, so I think I get a little bit of credit just for that part. So I get like
a lot of credit, Scott, because when you think you actually dove in a lot further than I thought you would. He actually was listening to some of the Norwegian language albums that he put out. And I was like, oh, too far, too far.
Yeah.
Have you heard the there's a very slow, like, unplugged version that he did on some show somewhere only a couple of years ago? It's really beautiful of Take On Me.
It is very beautiful. And I went ahead and I always thought that it needed to happen. I know they did an unplugged version on MTV years ago, but they revamped it this time, and it more soul to it and more heart. And even though you may not understand what the hell he's talking about in the song, the lyrics are a little confusing, you get it. When they slow it down and he puts his all into it, you get it. And it's just like, oh my God, that's what he's been talking about all this time. Yeah. So I couldn't help myself. I had to do a cover of it and put it on my YouTube page, but the old Warner Brothers, Lord bless them. Even though it was an a cappella cover, they shut me down.
Did they pull it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they knew. I'm sorry. That sucks.
Yeah. You know, it's okay. I'm like, hey, at least they know I know how to sing, so call me. You know, I could be singing their songs all the time. But yeah, so, but this is a great album. Like I said, Train of Thought is very, ironic. I'm going to use that. It's a very ironic song. Hunting High and Low, a lot of people like it, a lot of people don't. It's another melodic. The Blue Sky, to me, is... Well, it's one of my standouts other than Take On Me. And it just goes on and on. Living a Boy's Adventure Tale, and You Tell Me, Love Is the Reason, I Dream Myself Alive, and Here I Stand Face the Rain. So one of the things that I noticed just recently is that I already knew that Pal Blacktar, which is one of the members of the band, he plays bass or keyboard, I can't remember. He writes a lot of their stuff. But Take On Me was written by all three of them, which I thought was kind of cool. It's very poetic, you know, so they all, you know, get credit for this massive pop song that has spanned so many decades and stayed alive for so long, you know, and it's extremely recognizable, too. You know, there's a lot of songs out there, you know, you notice, you know, like the first few bars, like Dixie's Midnight Runners, Come On, Lean. Right. You know, like, yeah. Oh, it's Dexter. And then ding, 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 you know, Safety Dance, you know, the entrance to that, you know. And then you hear da 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 da.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's yummy. You know, so it's a very integral part of the 80s, and I'm just really super glad to be able to share it with everybody and, you know, my love for AHA with you all. And
That one song, I mean, Take On Me, has spanned not only decades, but all forms of media throughout the decades.
Yeah.
It's been in commercials. It's been, you know, used in movies, retro movies that, you know, that give homage to the 80s, TV shows. I don't know if it was on Stranger Things, but I wouldn't be surprised if it had been, because it was one of those songs.
Or
that,
will be.
Yeah. Or right. Or will be. Right. It's one of those songs that epitomizes the 80s, really. It's one of those songs that nobody in all of our musical history will always know that is one of the the most influential songs to our pop culture of the 80s. And so when we knew that 1985 was coming on, Dave said, hey, we got to get Rose on this because this is going to be AHA, and we got to give her moment of AHA, of AHA love. And so we're glad to have you bring that up. I knew it was coming, but I'm excited that you brought it up. So I want to ask you, we've been doing something lately with our picks. If there was one special song, one gem song, the hidden gem that most people don't know, which one would you pick? Because I'm going to put it on the podcast. I'm going to put a snippet of it on the podcast when I edit it down.
When you're going through the description, it sounded like you were going Blue Sky.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
I think I have to mention that only because, you know, it's one of those songs that, you know, you hear his anxiety and frustration, you know, with people around him and his, the way he's experiencing. I mean, it could just be a day in the life, but still, you know, when I talk about, you know, the lyrics to Train of Thought being, and that's another good one too, being ironic. It just is, you know, it kind of makes you sit back and think, you know, you read the lyrics, you listen to them, and you kind of go, oh, okay, this is a very nice and upbeat song. There's a lot of good harmonies in it. Wait, what's he talking about? The lady sitting next to him doesn't want him there because she might laugh at him when he starts talking or something like that. You know, so it could just be, you know, one of those things that everybody experiences, like, why am I here? Aren't these people interacting with me? You know, what am I going to do in order to make things better? You know, and he just kind of goes on and he just keeps catapulting into kind of like a self-debilitation rant. Hmm. You know, I'm older than my looks, I'm older than my years kind of a thing, which is actually like a turn of a phrase kind of a thing people use sometimes. But yeah, I just really think, and it leads into, believe it or not, it leads into, if you, you know, from Follow Aha at all, you know, if there are other 11 albums, people out there, come on
11
now.
That's amazing.
Well, there's 12 altogether. If you listen to, like, when they got on further into their career, a lot of their stuff is super dark. You know, it's like, I don't want to say borderline alternative, but it kind of is.
Or you gothic, know, you maybe? To, a little gothic or emo?
That emo, I would say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you ever watched any of the videos for, you know, the stuff like later in the 2000s, you know, they go dark. Hmm. And it's no apologies either, but they're Norwegian. And Norway is like one of the highest suicide rates in the world, you know, with the temperatures and the weather and their lack of sunlight. And
lack of sunlight.
Certain times. Yeah. So, you know, it's just
quite nice and all that.
Well, yeah, it is what it is, you know. And I remember one time he was on, and I was really surprised to see him too. This was early 2000s. He was on an episode of Graham Norton. And Graham asked Morton Harkett, he says, so how's things going with you? Are you popular with the girls? Do you have a fairly healthy love life? He goes, you don't really listen to my songs at all, do you? And I was
Now, can I be shallow for a second? But how good did he look? He has great, great cheekbones.
Oh, I know. His
just had to throw that in.
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, he's by far one of the most gorgeous men on the planet. And very humble, too. I mean, when I see him, because he's a humanitarian, but he's a horticulturist. I don't want to use the word grows, but I suppose I could. Orchids are like his thing. They could just magically come alive in
orchids?
His presence.
Did you say?
Yeah.
You know, my family is in the orchid business.
No.
Yeah.
Like, orchids are hard.
Like, hugely in the orchid business. I don't mean to sidetrack, but yeah.
No, but that's a good segue. I like that. And then his. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying they've been in the business for like over 70 years of distributing orchids around the world. And my grandmother actually has an orchid named after her. That's one of the most crossbred orchids in the world. It's amazing. It's kind of a weird little trivia thing about my past.
Yeah, wow.
That's interesting that you brought up just orchids. It's just random. Sorry. Tangent. Remember, who's the tangent king, Rose?
You are.
That's right.
And we'll chalk that up in the Bonsai Retro Club trivia.
There you go. So to answer your question, it's definitely the Blue Sky. You put it on there and let people listen to it, see what they think. And if they already know it, good on them. And if they don't, then maybe they'll have something new to listen to.
I'm looking forward to listening to it, actually. I don't know that one, and I'm going to have to – I mean, I'm going to check it out anyway because I'm going to put it in.
Sunlight at the phases that surround me, pale and tired today.
Anyway, I think we should move on to our next album.
I think so. I'm excited. Okay.
So, wow. Who do we go with for our next pick? I think I'm going to shoot it over to Dave.
Oh, to Dave.
Yeah.
What do you think, Dave?
Yep. All right. So, in the 80s, I would go over to my friend Doug Jeter's house. And what nobody knows Doug, but if you ever go over to his house, he had this DJ setup where it was like just in his room, and he would have subdued lighting, and he would just, you know, he would mix in between songs. Like, I never heard the end of songs because of Doug, because he was always crossing into the next song like DJs do. And one of the times that I was over at his house, we're just hanging out, you know, in his room and just shooting the shit. He's playing records as he does, and he puts in this album. And to me, it is so iconic for, you know, what became the late 80s, because every time I hear Sting, Dream of the Blue Turtles,
wow,
I'm always thinking of being in Doug Jeter's room as he's mixing music. And the song that just became so powerful at the time was, mm-hmm, you know, basically a political message, you know, was Russians.
Love.
Yeah. And Sting, yeah. And this is what Sting was kind of evolving, right? He was evolving into this, you know, this person that was giving this political message of, here's what I think and here's my views. And, you know, honestly, the rest of the album really does play like it. Like, I like to associate it as if you had coffee house music, you know, back in the 80s. This, a lot of the rest of the songs that are on this album play that way, but I don't mean in a bad way. I don't mean that at a bad way. It's one of those albums that you can put on in the background and just let it soak in, and you can just kind of enjoy the melodies. You can enjoy kind of the message that Sting is kind of providing. Mm-hmm. And I've just always gotten so much out of this, but I've always had that memory. When I hear Russians, I'm in Doug Jeter's room. You know, listening to this album, you know, and yeah, you know, it transports me every friggin' time I hear it. So earlier today, I was listening to, you know, a bit more of the album, and I was trying to get, you know, remember it. And because I don't know if I really actually had the album. I think I had the album, and yeah, I think I had it later on where, mm-hmm, you know, I think it was because one of those things when I was at this point in the Navy, I was like, you know, oh yeah, I know that album. And I remember I may have had it on cassette. So it was like one of those things that when I'm in my cot, I had my headphones on because it kind of transported me back to my high school days. And so I remember a lot of the songs that are on this album as I was listening to them today, but I didn't, you know, it's like one of those things where I didn't know the name of each song, but I just knew the song. So it was interesting to go through today and going, oh, that's that song. So to me, you know, it's one of those albums, and, you know, specifically Russians, has transported me. And I think it's so iconic as far as what's even happening now in the headlines, you know, where you can kind of go, OK, here we go again. You know, and hopefully not, you know, hopefully it's not like a Cold War situation where we have to worry about nuclear weapons. But, you know, because that was kind of the thought process behind what Russians was delivering. But there are so many great iconic songs also that just when I listen to them, it you know, it still transports me, because one way or another, you know, Doug was mixing in those songs to everything else that he was playing. Now, I can go into George Michael where he was playing, you know, I Want Your Sex and stuff like that. He wasn't trying to be like, you know, like trying to get me in bed or anything like that. It wasn't like that, but it was still, you know, it was just so iconic for, you know, that time period and me wanting to just really immerse myself with just that moment. And the other thing that I was jealous of Doug because I was in love with his girlfriend and he had a Mustang, but we won't go there.
Okay, but he had good taste in music, so.
He had great taste in music, and of course he had LPs all over the place. But, you know, I guess if I had to pick a hidden gem, a song that was, if you guys, would you say Love is the Seventh Wave, would that be an iconic song where everybody knows, or would that be a hidden gem? Because to me, I know it.
Could be a hidden gem because I think I know it, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
You're the empire of the senses. You're the queen of all you survey. All the cities, all the nations. Everything that falls your way, I see. There is a deep underground madness that you don't understand. There is a deep underground madness tugging at your hand. Every ripple on the ocean, every leaf on every tree, every sand dune in the desert, every power we never see. There is a deeper wave than this, swelling in the world. There is a deeper wave than this, listen to me, girl.
I can really say, you know, I'm a freak about the Police, so I know all these songs.
Yeah.
That might have been played less than some of the others. I'm surprised that you said Russians, even though that's one of my favorites, too. I don't think everybody in the world listened to that one.
To me, like I said, it transports me.
Rose, what about you?
I'll say Love is the Seventh Wave would be a hidden gem. I'm not really familiar with a lot of songs on this album. I got into Sting later in life. I found the Fields of Gold album and it had so many amazing songs. The song was on it. What's that one? He talks about, because he's not afraid to go political at all.
No, he's not.
I want to say When They Dance or As They Dance. He talks about the women.
When we dance,
the Spanish women that were dancing, you know, for their dead husbands and sons and things like They Dance Alone. There you go. That's the name of it. And that's on a completely different album. But it kind of reminds me of this song, Russian, because, you know, he's also speaking to a dictator or head of state. You know, it's like, how can you, you know, murder all these people and just walk away from it instead of a thing and look at all these women that are dancing along to remind them of their fallen loved ones, kind of a thing. You know, so he gets in there and he stabs you in the heart. I've never actually sat down and completely listened to this album, but I am familiar with Fortress Around Your Heart, which is a good one. And If You Love Somebody, Set Them Free.
Yeah, I would say those would be the iconic ones that everybody would know.
So,
kind of stories, though. They're definitely those story songs. Every one of them has a narrative. Like little pieces of a puzzle that all kind of come together. It's a beautiful album.
It is.
So, Suzanne, you're familiar with the album.
Yeah.
So, do you know anything about why he picked The Dream of the Blue Turtles as the title of the album, even though it's like a musical?
Yeah, it's an instrumental.
It's an instrumental,
I don't know, and it's kind of cool. Isn't that the one that starts like one of the musicians is yelling, "Hey, what key is this in? Hey,
yeah,
hey, what key is this in?" And it's like, you know, you got all the reverb in the background and stuff. I don't know why he chose that name. I think he was just there was a concert film that he made around this same time, and I don't even remember exactly what it was called, but they showed him and he rented out some mansion in France or something and did this, you know, composed all these songs. And I don't know, I think he was trying to bring more of his own musicianship into things. Like he was more into jazz and, you know, stuff that didn't jibe anymore with what the Police were doing. So, you know, maybe just the fact that is an instrumental and it's different, it's jazzy, it's got it's got horns in it, it's got cool stuff that he didn't really do with the other band, so.
I would say there's a lot of the songs that are on this album that have that jazz blues kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, he made a deal about that, at least in that film he did. That's where he wanted to go with this. So,
and for the listener, if you're not familiar with the other episodes that we've done on New Wave, that's the reason why I directed the question to Suzanne, is because I know that she is a fan of the Police, and I figure she might have known.
Well, I have that's my best guess, but
oh, okay.
I don't know if I can corroborate that.
I'm going to go with it.
Okay.
And
we'll make it up as we go.
Okay.
I'm gonna throw out one more song in there. Moon Over Bourbon Street. I've heard this played on like Pandora or Spotify or something several times in some of the stations that I listen to. You know, when you pick a station, whatever, you know, whoever, and you know, you pick Police, the station, and it'll pull up these kind of songs and these little bit deeper cuts every once in a while. And Moon Over Bourbon Street. And when you said a jazzy, bluesy feel, that one's definitely got it.
Oh, and, yeah, it does.
Yeah. And it's really one of the standout songs on the album to me. And I don't really know the album that well overall, the whole album. I know If You Love Somebody, of course, I know the ones that were that had radio air. Fortress Around Your Heart, it's a great song. I always thought If You Love Somebody, Set Them Free, I thought that was a remake of something, but I think he's just taking parts of some kind of somebody's poetry.
No, you know what it was? It was kind of an answer. No, it was kind of – that one was kind of an answer to Every Step You Take. Every breath you take, I'll be watching you. So that was, you know, the Stalker song, and then this one was kind of it. Yeah, the
letting him go.
Yeah, set you free. Set them free. You know, so he was like, you know, no, I'm not a tyrant stalker. And also that Bourbon Street song was basically he wrote about Interview with a Vampire, the Anne Rice song.
Oh, right.
Sweet.
So, nice.
Wow, I never would have thought that was connected. That's awesome.
Yeah. See, I do know some trivia. I don't know exactly why he titled it that way, but I do know some trivia about the album.
Awesome.
It's very cool.
So, Dave, great pick. I thought somebody might bring this one up. I actually thought you would bring
it. You didn't see me doing it, though,
no,
right?
No, I did not. I didn't think it was going to be you. I had you pegged for something else, which we'll probably get to on our honorable mentions. So I'm
just worried that I stole Suzanne's pick.
That's where we're going next.
I have four picked out, and that's one of them.
Oh, okay.
We're going to go Suzanne. Okay. I'm gonna go last. Suzanne, you're gonna go next.
All right.
Let's go with what your pick is for the year.
Okay. Well, I hope I don't pick the same one that you have in mind.
No, you won't.
Okay. Well, in that case, I have to go with Tears for Fears, Songs from the Big Chair.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. Because that just kind of blew the doors off the air, I think, that and it's really marked the decade. That was just a powerhouse album. And just, you know, personally, I loved it. It meant a lot to me. That was the year 1985, like in February, I got on a plane and I went to England. I'd worked like the whole 2 summers before to be able to afford to do, you know, my study abroad. And, you know, we couldn't bring albums. I had like a Walkman and, you know, could go buy cassettes. And I bought this cassette for Songs from the Big Chair. And I was literally so hyper that I would go downstairs to the basement of the flats that we were in and listen to this album and literally jump up and down and bounce off the walls down there. Just the excitement of, you know, I'm starting my life. This is really wild. And that was kind of the soundtrack to that moment, you know. And, you know, everybody wants to rule the world. I thought that in my little head that I just ruled the world. And that, you know, that was all there was to it. That was my moment. So it was a great album. And it got just so much attention that it was more than mainstream. It was kind of what everybody else aspired to accomplish, I think. So
that's a good point. I think it was more than mainstream. This was a huge, huge album that you cannot.
Huge.
I mean, huge. it's hard to compare a lot of other 80s albums overall, the full decade, to this one. I mean, this is something that stands out among the whole decade, not just 1985.
Yeah, it's true.
It's gigantic. It's the big chair. So
it had a lot of dynamics to it. I mean, Everybody Wants to Rule the World was very much a pop song. You could hear it. It was catchy. They played it everywhere. You know, you walked into any kind of, even like retail stores, like everywhere, parties, clubs, television, it was every place. But yet it would like completely slow down and just sing, I Believe, and just little piano chords going in the background. And, then Head Over Heels was pop again, and Shout was kind of in between. They didn't limit themselves. It was a brief album. Like, there weren't a ton of songs on there, but some of them really like kicked ass. Some of, like, Mother's Talk just went was slamming.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I don't know. Hidden Gem. I don't know if any of these songs could be hidden, because just everybody had this album.
I'll tell you my favorite. I Believe is my favorite on that album.
I Believe is wild. It's a neat song.
It's slow and melodic, and but it's so beautiful. It's just so well done. And just, I sometimes, like the 1984 episode, we talked about Depeche Mode, and there's some, a song called Somebody. I'm sorry, Someone, mm-hmm. Someone or Somebody. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But it's a similar feel of that. It just really makes you kind of get entranced into their, into what they're saying. And so I Believe is my personal favorite off this one. I think Everybody Wants to Rule the World and Shout and Mother's Talk are all awesome songs. And Head Over Heels, of course, is great. The other three I'm not as familiar with, but I probably recognize them if I heard them, because I know that I listened to this entire album. So anyway, I Believe is my personal favorite. Rose, what do you think about this album? Where do you fall on this?
Kudos, first of all, to Suzanne. This is one of the most iconic and earth-shattering albums I think that Tears for Fears ever did. And,
that's a good way to put it.
the duo, Kurt Smith and Lisa Orbezal, kind of, he's got a mouthful for a name.
Mm-hmm.
They were a match made in heaven, and they put their talents to work, and they came out with some very powerful music. And a lot of things were going on in the 80s. A lot of people thought, the 80s were great, and they were so much fun, and everybody spent all kinds of money. And, if you were here in the United States, if you were over in another country, or you were in the UK, they still had rationing, things like that, You had to pretty much be happy with what you had. And a lot of things that they talk about, especially in Shout, they're basically referencing anger management classes, so to speak, or group therapy, where, if you're having issues at home and you're having problems with, being upset or whatever, I mean, this is like legitimate stuff. They can't deal with the fact that, they are still in poverty, and they still are trying to struggle to make it. And then some people never get out of it, and so they get upset and they get angry and they don't understand why. And so Shout was kind of like an homage to group therapy. And I think Kurt Smith basically said they went like 3 times and then they were done, because that's all they were other people. But it was encouraged, because you got to release that tension. You have to understand how to hone in on your own feelings and, be concerned for your fellow man, but not lose yourself in the process. Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Basically, that was the 80s, everybody wanted to rule the world,
Hippies.
It doesn't need everybody, ruling it. It just needs people to understand other people better and have love and compassion for your fellow man. But this was the decade of the me decade. So it's just like, if I have more money and I have more things, I'll have more happiness. No, that's not how it works.
This was way deeper than Rockstar by Nickelback.
Yeah. A little more substance.
Yeah. Always my favorite. Second favorite, only to Head Over Heels. Have you ever watched the video? I just love it, you know, because it's just, he's, I just like the subtlety of him, you know, he's singing to the librarian. She's not paying attention, but she kind of is. And she's kind of hoping he likes her, and he's kind of hoping she likes him. And then he's just so nervous and weird. And you know how quirky people get when they don't know how to tell other people how they feel about him and stuff like that. So this, to me, is like the epitome of the shy guy, you know, wants the girl kind of a song. So
nice. that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah. And yeah, so this whole album, you know, 100% love it. Good pick.
So Dave, give us your 2 cents on this one.
Well, I'm looking at the lyrics to Shout, and it's like, it's such a powerful song. And I guess I've never really tried to digest the lyrics, because I was always kind of a, you know, I just took it as what was presented to me, and I've always loved the song. But, you know, I mean, if you look at, you know, the lyrics right now, what I'm looking at is, in violent times, you shouldn't have to sell your soul. In black and white, they really ought to know. Those one-track minds, they took you for a working boy. Kiss them goodbye. You shouldn't have to jump for joy. And I mean, those are kind of really powerful lyrics, and a lot to what Rose was saying was, you know, just releasing, you know, the what's pent up in you and the anger. And so, I mean, Tears for Fears, they got it. They understood that, and they were able to release that into songs. And this album epitomized, you know, that message. And by proxy, it was just, you know, like a John Hughes movie. It just, you know, it was the 80s, you know, and that's exactly what this is.
Yeah.
And it's cool that Shout was about that release, but yet it was a very controlled feeling song. You know, it was not Anarchy in the UK, you know, it was very structured.
In general, that's kind of how they roll. And they're very subdued when they're angry, you know, in the best of times, you know, they're pretty well put together. So, yeah, so that was probably a lot for them to come out with that. I'm sure they've got quite a bit of flack from it.
It'd be interesting to imagine what it was like to sit there and try to put those lyrics down and kind of create that song. What was going through his mind at that moment. So, yeah, it's powerful. And you know, a lot of like what we're talking about, where the, you know, these songs are almost therapeutic for these guys that are creating it, you know, as to what they're living through and what they're going through at the time. And I'm sure it's helped them, you know, and I'm sure if you were to backtrack, you know, what you're talking about with Aha, you know, it had that same kind of therapeutic value, I'm sure, to those that were just using that as their release, you know, the music and the creation as their release for whatever was kind of pent up in them. And Shout is wonderful at doing that.
Yeah.
Let it all.
one of the things I love about this album, or this group actually, is their ability to switch up vocals between between two lead singers.
Sure.
This is something that Suzanne and I talked about in 84, I believe, or it might have been 83.
Yeah, regarding the Cars. Regarding
Cars. With Benjamin Orr singing occasionally and Rick Ocasek. I love bands that can switch it up like that and not be focused on just one lead vocalist. It's refreshing, and it's awesome that they can share the limelight.
Yeah, and still maintain kind of the sound and the integrity of the band.
Absolutely. Right. They still sound like that band. You don't hear a huge difference in their styling or their or the way they sing. They're just the vocals are similar, but you can still tell that there's a difference in the two. And I love that about this band. And I knew that somebody was going to pick this album. And that was
Can't not pick this album.
I actually, you know, made some notes on paper today instead of just a Word doc. Yeah, I know.
Paper.
Yes.
Retro. Paper. Talk about paper. Retro.
Paper. I have a.
I feel like I should know that word.
I have a pen. That's a pen. Actually, that's also a stylus for computers, which is kind of geeky. But anyway, I made a note that somebody
this is like Waterworld.
Yeah.
Paper.
Well, you can't have paper and water. It just doesn't. They don't mesh.
But you can make.
And paper I don't think that movie was as bad as everybody makes it out to be. I'm going to stand on that soapbox right now. No, I'm kidding. So anyway, great pick. This was very high on my list of picks. Also, it's impactful. It was Everybody Wants to Rule the World was everywhere on MTV. It was in constant rotation. I can still see the glider that they would launch off in the beginning, and it was part of the video. It's I'll never forget this. A lot of these songs on this album. So I'm going to move on.
Well, no, actually, I want to ask one quick question.
Yes, sir.
We have not picked Songs from the Big Chair because we were making sure we were leaving it for someone else? Is everyone else? Was that kind of how everyone was kind of like, you know, where you weren't going to say that one because of that?
Ladies.
Well, I said it, so
yeah.
I went ahead with it, Suzanne, so I can't really answer.
So
if I hadn't had the Haunting High and Low, you know, I probably would have picked it, but I left it because I figured someone else would take the reins on that.
Yeah, somebody had to say it.
Yeah, of course they did. Of course they did. I was just wondering if we were so, caring for each other that we wouldn't have went there and we're like, oh, I'll leave that for someone else.
I do feel a lot of love tonight.
Yeah, there is.
Okay. I feel a lot of love, and this is all good. So,
all right. So, Scott, where are you at? Pick your album, man.
I'm going Simple Minds. Simple Minds, Once Upon a Time. It's got three songs that probably several people know. There's a couple less known songs in there that I do like. I think my favorite song on that album is Alive and Kicking. It doesn't get much better than that. It's a great freaking song. As I was listening to the album, re-listening to the album today, I heard a lot of U2 influence. So I don't know if that's who their influence is, but I hear a lot of similarities, and they are a Scottish band. So it's not it's not a stretch to believe that they were influenced by U2. But they have been around almost nearly as long. I mean, they've had a couple other albums before that really did not get any too much airplay. But I really am amazed at the three songs that are the ones that were released, and that's All the Things She Said, like I said, Alive and Kicking, and another, probably my second favorite song by them. And I know we should be loving Don't You Forget About Me, of course, is on a different album or from the soundtrack. But Sanctify Yourself is a great freaking song. And do you guys know this song? Are you familiar with Sanctify? Okay. Sanctify Yourself,
I do not.
Dave? Oh, dude.
No.
Really. It's pretty incredible. I'll probably put that as my hidden gem, although I think it might be. Said is just awesome. I love that song. Another song on there is actually I Wish You Were Here is mm-hmm. and it's not a remake of Pink Floyd. I Wish You Were Here. It's its own thing, and it's a pretty cool tune. It's got a cool little guitar groove in it that it just never got any airplay. I don't think it was ever released as a single. So anyway, Rose, what do you think of this one?
This is an excellent album choice for you to present to us. I, when I rediscovered the 80s and the early 2000s, I kind of went with, okay, what songs do I know for sure? You know, so I went with all of the, like, Pretty in Pink by, you know, Psychedelic Furs, mm-hmm. OMD, You Leave, you know, Cyndi Lauper, or the Eurythmics, you know, to get to Simple Minds. And I'm like, okay, Don't You Forget About Me. You know, I get it. I like that one too. But I decided to like branch out and say, I don't want to buy all of their albums, but I want to listen to a lot of stuff that they've done. So I think I got like a compilation album I found on LimeWire. Anyway, so...
It's not a fruit, and it's not a wire.
it's not a wire.
That's good.
But yeah, so it was in the heyday of streaming music, the original stream. Hello. So the moratorium can't get me. So when I found them, you know, and I found the songs, Alive and Kicking is actually on a current playlist that I listen to on Spotify. So it's like a go-to Simple Minds tune. Not that I haven't, you know, because sometimes you kind of go, even me with Take On Me, okay, you know, I've heard enough. Can we move on? I love you. I don't need to listen to you every day. You know, so it's kind of like, you know, Don't You Forget About Me. Yeah, I get it. Great song. Can we move on? So this is like one of my second favorite songs that they've done. Sanctify Yourself, definitely up in, you know, if I do a top five for Simple Minds, it's up there. It's not on this album, but Belfast Child has to be my absolute favorite.
Really?
Is
that later or earlier?
Good question. Don't know.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah, but it's awesome if you ever heard it. And it's very, very dark and sad and forlorn. And I'm sure it's referencing the all the turmoil that's going on in Ireland at the time, you know, because Glasgow and Ireland are kind of like right there. But it's just, you know, very impactful and insightful. And it's just one of those things where it just kind of sticks with you. You know, if you listen to the lyrics and you hear the music, and it's just amazing. Just totally amazing. And James Kerr, the lead singer for Simple Minds, is not one to shy away from making people feel. You know, he's not going to shove it down your throat, but it's just like, I'm writing a song about tragedy and hopelessness, you know, hope you like it, you know, kind of a thing.
I gotta say, I love that that term, making people feel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether it's good or bad, it's making them feel. That's good. That's awesome. Good terminology. Yeah. So anyway, go on.
Yep. And that was it. So yeah, okay. It was a great album for you. Kudos.
And you know,
you guys surprised.
You know how I am with my little bit of rock edge. You know, I have a little bit of the more of the hard rock, the heavy metal. These guys kind of bring that little bit of edge to it too in some of their guitar work.
Oh yeah.
So that's something that's something else that kind of grabbed my attention about Simple Minds is some of their guitar work. So
are we saying Alive and Kicking is crunchy?
Yes, it is. So is Sanctify Yourself. Sanctify Yourself is crunchy. Totally crunchy.
Yeah, it's a little edgy. It's a little edgy. I think Jim Kerr's vocals really kind of became synonymous with the 80s. And maybe that was because the Breakfast Club just went, you know, went ballistic and everybody is still watching that. But I think people began to imitate him. You know, like I look at I listen to Alive and Kicking, and I think that like maybe INXS kind of pulled a lot from this. You know, they did an album called Kick. I think that he kind of trailblazed as far as that the lyrical style of his singing, and that's a cool thing. And then he married Chrissy Hynde, and that was a cool thing too.
Wait, he was married to Chrissy Hynde, really?
Yeah.
The singer from Simple Minds.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Right? Correct.
Wow, what a combination that could be.
Yeah. I know.
Have they ever done anything together?
Operated. I know, right?
Oh my God.
Not that I know of. I mean, I'm sure they did plenty of things together. not that I know of musically.
Yeah,
I think they did some things together. But
I don't think that happens as much as people think. I honestly don't see them collaborating. You know, if they did, it was maybe like a brief, what do you think of this person? Yeah, it sounds okay. All right, Dove, thanks. But, so, you know, but they have totally different styles.
They do,
you know,
really.
That's true.
You know, very, you know, made of herself. So
that's really cool, though. That's cool, Trivia. Yeah. You know what song I heard today on the way? We were coming back from we took a couple of foster dogs to meet their potential. Actually, I think they're being adopted. It's really cool.
Yay!
I heard Precious on the way home.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh man, I forgot how good of a
song
it is. Yeah. She actually says fuck off in the middle of it. I'm like, oh my God. I forgot about that song.
Fresh out.
Great. It's a great song.
Love it.
Anyway, I thank you for that little bit of trivia for the Chrissy Hynde comment.
Sure. It was good to tip the hat to Chrissy.
Had no idea. I love the pretender.
You know, we've talked about the international aura that was, you know, that kind of took over here. And I always liked the idea of kind of melding the U.S. side of New Wave and the European side. And that was Chrissy Hynde was the only American in her band, if I'm remembering right. And, you know, then she hooked up with, you know, the lead singer who is Scottish. So it, to me, that was kind of, I don't know, a certain amount of like validation that, yeah, we're right in this. This is not just the UK.
Speaking of Scottish husbands, how's your husband, Rose?
he's doing good.
That's good. Good to hear. I know. I remember you saying that he was Scottish too. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Aberdeen.
Aberdeen, is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Is that like a territory or a county or something?
In the northeastern part of Scotland, it's a city.
Oh, okay. I don't know it well. I'm dying to go there. I had a friend that went to Scotland recently, and you know, I can't wait to go there and talk about Braveheart.
Oh, yep.
Dear God.
I thought Rose, we were told not to. That was the best.
I did a production at Brigadoon in Florida once.
That could actually be more accepted. That would be more accepted than anything anybody has to say about Braveheart. So just so you know.
Okay. Just don't mention it. If you go to Scotland.
Rose, are you located in the US or you're in Scotland?
No, I'm here in the US. I'm in the Pacific Northwest in Washington. So yeah. But yeah, my husband's originally, we met on the internet, so that's where he was when I met him.
Yeah. Wow. Awesome.
Cool.
So, gosh, where were we going? I don't even know. Dave, did you give your input on this one yet?
No, I did. I was just enjoying the show. no, I Rose, this is one of the many reasons why I love you. You had said that, you know, there's like songs out there that you're like, okay, you know, after hearing it so many times, you know, and it was just like, all right, I get it. Let's move on. So I'm listening to you and I'm like, I haven't heard anyone else say that out loud. So thank you. Thank you for that. You know, and, you know, girls just want to have fun. Cyndi Lauper, you know, and Jesse's Girl, Rick Springfield. I love those songs, but at the same time, I've heard them so many hundreds of times. I'm like, I get it. Thank you. Moving on.
Just so I can, and I got to throw this little nugget in here only because I can. At work, I have playlists for every day of the week. Aha is on Wednesday. And
it goes
from the album in order of their inception. So it's the first album and then, you know, the second one, I can't think of it for some reason. It's a really good album. It's got Scoundrel Days on it and all kinds of stuff. So if you ever want to listen to a super good album besides Hunting High and Low, listen to the second one. And then it just goes on from there until we end up from, you know, 2015, I guess, or something, when they did cast it. But I always start to playlist and train of thought because I know Take On Me is the number one song on the album, but I just can't do it. I love you guys. Take On Me is like my all-time favorite song, and I will never, never discount that ever. But just for sanity purposes, let's start at number two.
But thank you for that. And my point being that Alive and Kicking for Simple Minds has never been that song for me yet.
Oh,
I'll say yet. So I haven't gotten tired of it. I love the song, and it's one of those that I would put on my favorite list on Spotify. In fact, I just thinking about it now, I don't have it on my liked songs, so I'm going to have to add it after we get done talking. Sure. You know, because I still really get into that song, and to me, that's what, you know, that's the one song on this album that I will always appreciate and enjoy from Simple Minds. Obviously, you know what, you know, they brought into Don't Forget About Me, you know, that is its whole other world. But, you know, speaking into 1985 and what they gave us with this album, Alive and Kicking, mm-hmm. kick-ass song.
Mm-hmm. Dave, do you know Sanctify Yourself?
Agreed.
I think you already asked that. I said no.
Okay. Yeah, you need to look that one up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I remember that song. That and All the Things She Said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're good songs.
So that wraps it up for our main picks. And I want to run through just a couple quick honorable mentions. And remember I mentioned earlier in the show that Chris Warren would stop listening and stop mm-hmm. contributing if I didn't mention a couple albums real quick. And that is
we hit them?
No, we did not touch any of them.
Oh, no. Okay, so go.
The other thing that I want to make sure you cover is I want to know what album you were thinking about for me.
Oh, I thought you were going to pick Tears for Fears, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go that way. I thought Suzanne would pick Sting. So it's funny, you guys kind of flip-flopped.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he was on my list.
Nice. Nice little surprise for me. So his picks were Listen Like Thieves by NXS, which is a great freaking album.
Yeah.
And definitely made my honorable mentions, my own personal honorable mentions list. This Time is on there, Kiss the Dirt, Listen Like Thieves, of course, What You Need, some great songs on there.
Excellent album.
Yeah. The other album that he mentioned was New Order. What is the name of the album? I lost
it. That surprises me.
Yeah. Oh, what? Chris Warren? Mr. Metalhead that was in a borderline death metal band. Yeah. Yeah. He loved New Order. He was saying that New Order is his favorite new wave band of the 80s.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll have to talk
to him. you gotta talk to Chris. That's awesome. Yeah, what was the name of that album though?
It's called Low Life.
Okay, thank you. Low Life, yes. He
used to be a Joy Division fan.
I don't know, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, then they morphed
one to the
other. I didn't know that they were part of Joy Division.
Yeah, New Order is a cool band.
Yeah. Well, because Ian Curtis, you know, they were on the verge of their first tour in America ever. The night before they leave, kill them.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Sorry. Take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, these things happen.
It's just kind of like it's like Kurt Cobain and Nirvana. You know, you got Foo Fighters because of that. You know.
Which I love the Foo Fighters actually. I do too. I like Foo Fighters better than Nirvana myself.
Sacrilege.
But that's for a 90s topic. We'll have to get into the 90s. Maybe we could do a grunge.
I was series. Completely thinking about that.
Mm.
Some Pearl Jam, some Nirvana, some Foo, Soundgarden, Stone. I mean, there's a
Stone
lot
Temple Pilots.
A lot
yeah.
to choose from, really. Mm-hmm. Alice in Chains. It gets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can.
Spin Doctors.
Spin Doctors. Nice. Yeah, that was one of the songs. We played a Spin Doctor songs at our wedding.
Yeah.
Two Princes,
yes. You know that story, Dave. I think, Rose, you might have been. Yeah. We might have been doing a podcast when I told that story. Mm-hmm. Anyway, do you guys have any quick honorable mentions other than NXS and New Order? So there, Chris. Warren, this is a message out to you real quick just before you guys get started. Chris Warren, you have to continue listening now, and you cannot unsubscribe because we mentioned your music, and we do appreciate your input.
Gotta hang in there. All right, I'm going to throw out there Kate Bush, Hounds of Love.
Oh, Kate Bush.
Yep.
Really, really cool album. Really, really unique songs die for.
She's got an amazing voice.
Oh yeah.
Like a very unique, unusual, but incredibly.
It's beautiful to listen to.
It really is. It's very beautiful to listen to. She really has some talent. And I think she was kind of overlooked a lot back then.
She was not like usually out there in the spotlight. She was a little more underground, I guess.
And that's because
it was more experimental, you know. Mm-hmm. It wasn't.
Yeah.
But Running Up That Hill was a pretty popular song, if I remember.
Yeah.
Hounds of Love is really good too. That whole album.
Yeah. It was a very cool album.
So actually, I want to give a shout out to a friend of mine that has his own podcast. It's called You're Just the Worst. But he also does another show. He also does another show that's called Our Friends Electric, A-R-E. Like a question, right? And it's a reference to an old song. But he does an episode on Kate Bush. I think it's like it's episode 3, 2 or 3, where he has a guest on that they go deep into Kate Bush's career. But this guy, Oliver Rockside, he's really funny and really enjoyable, and he's been promoting our show also. I met him through a local podcasting group down here in Florida, and we go back and forth. I've been on his show actually, and I'd love to have him on our show sometime. So anyway, check him out sometime. That's Our Friends Electric or You're Just the Worst. Which You're Just the Worst, he picks out the worst songs in his opinion from 1979 to 2005. The top 100 worst songs, and he talks about them all, and it's really a lot of fun. So
okay,
I was on the show that was about Ozzy and Lita doing a duet.
Oh boy. Yikes.
And
that had to keep you busy.
it was a really fun show. I had a blast, and I still love the song because of the nostalgia feel. Although it's really kind of a joke, but anyway, let's move on. We'll go on. Do you have any more honorable mentions for 1985?
I do.
Oh yeah. What do you got?
Suzanne stole Kate Bush from me.
Guys are both thinking Kate Bush.
That's good. That's good though.
That is awesome.
Fine. Good luck. Thank you very much. How to Be a Zillionaire, ABC.
That was fun.
This next album is on my playlist for Mondays. My playlist for Monday stuff. It's the headliner, Dead Man's Party by Oingo Boingo.
Nice.
That's one of your favorites.
And that's what I thought was going to be Scott's pick.
Oh, really? It's got a really lot of good songs on there.
It does.
I know, Suzanne, you mentioned the song Stay before, right?
Yeah. That's a good one.
Weird Science is on that from, Dead Man's Party, which is probably one of the most played songs during the Halloween season, which is right now. Just Another Day is a great, great song. And No One Lives Forever. If you listen to any of the songs on this album, the one that you don't know is No One Lives Forever. Great song. Awesome.
Cuts, 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 but he can't get me. I'm as clever as can be.
Thought I Heard Somebody Cry. That's one of my favorites.
Oh, that's a good one, too. That is a good one. Thank you for bringing this up. Really, it was on my list of honorable mentions myself. So, because I love Boingo. They're awesome. And, you know, love the movie. What was the movie, Rose?
Oh, dear God. Please don't go there. Don't go there.
We'll never get off the podcast.
I don't. Sorry.
The movie to be unnamed.
All right. So I guess.
So we're
a little over an hour in. I think I'm gonna wrap it up unless anybody else has any special ones that they want to throw out there real quick. Anything? Are we good?
I got songs.
Okay, Dave.
Not necessarily albums.
Like one hit, like kind of one hit wonder songs.
Well, I mean, songs that were released in 1985 that were been new wave. So like "Rock Me Amadeus" by Falco came out.
Okay, yeah, that's one hit wonder. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then "Life in a Northern Town" by Dream Academy. Love that song. Yeah. I love
that
song.
Song. Yes.
That
was a great song.
Yeah,
I don't know anything else by them, but I know that song, and every time I've heard it, because I live down in Florida, so it's like, that gave me the visions of what, it would have been like living in, pardon the phrase, in a northern town.
Yeah. So,
Oliver
Rockside might have something to say about that song in one of his episodes. I'm just saying.
Yeah. All right, well, him and I actually had different opinions on that last episode I listened to.
I bought that album. It wasn't a bad album.
No, it's good stuff. I like them. Dream Academy is really good. They're good stuff. So, anyway, was that all you had, Dave? Oliver.
The other one was Some Like It Hot by Power Station.
Oh, that's Power Station, a super group we did not talk about.
No,
Duran Duran. Combined with Robert Palmer, which I love Robert Palmer, and he died too soon.
Definitely.
Way too young. Gosh, how old was he? He was only in his late 50s, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he was like 57, 58.
Yeah. That's crazy. We're losing them all too fast. Anyway.
Yeah.
So,
also Duran Duran, View to Kill.
Oh, a soundtrack?
Yeah.
Was that a soundtrack?
Yeah, so John Taylor was getting around that year.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I'll be done now. Otherwise, I'll be Googling and looking at other songs all night. So.
Yeah. Well, the Breakfast Club soundtrack came out that year, too.
It did.
And there's not as much on there other than the... there's a couple songs, but the Tears for Fear... Or the Simple Minds, sorry.
Yeah.
Song.
Yeah, they dominated.
That was.
I thought the Pretty in Pink soundtrack was better. That's just me, though. It didn't come out in 85, but it had a lot more recognizable songs. Suzanne Vega's left and center, but
one of my favorites.
Poor Phil Collins. Nobody picked No Jacket Required.
Well, I don't know if Phil Collins. Is Phil Collins.
Does he New Wave?
See, I don't know. I wouldn't really call him a new wave, but I leave other people freedom to do so, let's say.
Right. But here again, Suzanne, check it out. You Google this new wave album 1985, and what shows up on it? But Power Windows by Rush. I'm like, when did Rush become new wave?
No, that I definitely wouldn't.
We had an earlier conversation, and ZZ Top showed up under New Wave, and I was like, that can't be right.
No.
Yeah.
ZZ Top and Rush are not New Wave. I will stand firmly on
Sisters
that.
Sisters of Mercy are definitely not New Wave. A little too dark, New Wave.
yeah. All right. All right, well, I'm going to wrap it up then. I think we've covered 1985 pretty well.
I think we did.
And
I miss it.
Can we go back?
Yeah, can we go back? Let's
go back. I want to go back in time.
I'm working on my flux capacitor over here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, good. Forget your friend.
So, I want to thank you guys, everybody, for being part of the show tonight. 80s auto reverse or mixtape, whatever you want to call it. It's been a lot of fun doing so far. We're only halfway through the decade. We've covered 6 years. Wait, is that six or seven? 7 years.
Started with 79, so yeah.
So it's seven.
Seven.
7 years.
Yep.
If I can do math, I may be getting older, but I think I can still do math occasionally.
Well, there's a new math now, so I can understand why it'd be confusing.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter anymore anyway.
Yeah. I'm still going to get a trophy? Do I still get a trophy?
Yeah.
Participation award.
Sweet. Yeah. All right. So anyway, 1985, we're wrapped up for that one. Let's see. How do we wrap this up? So you can find us at BonsaiRetroClub.com. You can email us at McFly@BonsaiRetroClub.com. Now, we have a few other things to talk about. We have Rose. You are – what's your social media credentials, if you want to throw those out there?
Yeah, I'm at 80s Music Girl on Twitter. And if you want to check out any of my music, go with at Dragons Rose Red. That's all one word. And click on the link for my YouTube page. I think that I'm 80s Music Girl on Instagram too. So.
By the way, Rose has an amazing voice. Just go check her out. She's a very talented singer.
Girls who sing rock.
I can if I'm under enough pressure.
Suzanne, how about you?
Okay. SuzanneMattaboni.com. Suze Mattaboni on Twitter. Suzanne Mattaboni 80s on Instagram.
Awesome.
And that'll work.
Yeah. You can find all of us through the webpage too. We'll have links to all our different social media. If you want to reach out to any of us, email us or talk to us or have comments. And please, if you have, as you're listening to the show, go on any of the platforms that will accept reviews and ratings. Please do that, especially Apple, the iTunes, Apple Podcasts now. Leave reviews on that and stars or whatever. Whether you like us or not, give us whatever you want. We'll take any constructive criticism, if you will. And Dave, did I miss anything?
Nope. That's it. Just BonsaiRetroClub.com, BanzaiAI.
Oh yeah.
Then like I said, we have all our social media links on that website. So go to those: Twitter, Tumblr, blah blah blah.
And as usual, we always say, be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Hey.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Danielson!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
It was just so cool to talk to you again, Rose.
Thank you. I really enjoyed being here. It was like one of my favorite topics, of course, but, it's the people that do it with. It makes it the fun. I'm proud of you, Suzanne. You know a lot of stuff.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it was fun. Great to meet you. And I gotta hear you sing sometime.
No, that's okay. I'm not promising anything.
it's a unique. Rose, as we continue on through the 80s, if you ever want to chime in, just let me know, okay? Mm-hmm. If there's a specific year that, like, jumps out at you and says you need to talk about a certain album, please reach out to me and let me know, and we'll get you on the show. We'll try to schedule the same time. You know, we've been doing about the same time, the Sunday nights, so it's kind of working out so far.
I've been cranking them out. It's great.
Yeah, we're trying. we're having fun.
Yeah, that's the main part.
Yeah. So, anyway, you guys all have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. We will talk to you
later in the week. We'll figure out what's going on for next Sunday. All right?
Yep. Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. Take care. All right, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.